Your conference is being recorded.
Good morning, everyone. This is Danielle Peterson with United Way. I think we'll wait just a minute more just to make sure people have the opportunity to get on, but thank you so much for calling in today. All right, I think I'll go ahead and get started. I'm not sure how many people we have on the line, but I want to make sure we're respectful of everyone's time. Even though I know many of us are working remotely, I find myself working in a way different capacity. So I'm sure all of you guys could use the time yourselves to get back to what you're doing. I have a few things I wanted to share today. Hopefully people have had the opportunity to look at last week's notes that are on our website at dbqunitedway.org. Jess did a great job, and I know Cassie, our intern from Morris, is helping as well, but they did a great job of collecting information from last week's call with our nonprofit human service providers, and we shared that, those notes, and several links on our webpage, and it's right under the COVID-19 banner. You click read more and all of the notes and things will be available there. We'll do our best to do that same thing today and share some resources. I think also that we may not be able to answer today, but I think as a United Way team, we could certainly find the answers and include it on our notes. I've also been asked to record the call. So I am recording this call, and we'll do our best to share that in the notes as well, or share the link to that if you wish to listen to it. Let's see. Just as a reminder, if people are new to the call here, these calls are really to help streamline communication between human service providing agencies, to really encourage and support collaboration amongst everyone, which helps us make the most of our community resources, especially during this time of crisis around COVID-19. It's also a place to continue to be updated about our local needs from one another, as well as for our United Way, who then is able to streamline that information, the accurate information, to our 211 information and referral system that's being used statewide as a hub for answering questions around COVID-19, as well as additional resources and supports that many people in our community might need. I already mentioned the notes that will be available on our website and our continual updating of 211. Jess has been doing an awesome job capturing information as people have, I think Gwen Deming started an email about let us know what's updated and ask people to reply all. So she has captured all that information to let our 211 system know. But if you have other programming updates or changes or any particular needs, Jess is always a great go-to person, and then we can work together as a team to help address them and share that information. I'll give you Jess Bliley's contact information here later, but Please feel free to reach out to CRI if you have questions. Another thing I think people have been probably interested in is regarding our COAD. Our COAD is our Community Organizations Active in Disaster, and that is something that we have kind of re-engaged about three and a half years ago, preparing for getting the structure in place for preparation for disaster should we have one. We've used it for other things before in the past regarding flooding, too. But our COAD has 9 subcommittees under that and is comprised of numerous people in the community, providers and nonprofit providers, faith-based, medical personnel, et cetera. That COAD has enacted our COVID-19 Disaster Relief Fund and has done some fundraising there. That fund is held at the Community Foundation of Greater Dubuque. One of the things we have recently done is put out applications for nonprofits to apply for funding there. Again, encouraging each of the nonprofits to use the funding for immediate disaster relief, but also to collaborate and work together so that we're applying for and using our resources as best we can. We have some kind of great creative ways people in the nonprofit community have partnered, and we hope to see that continue because I think that's the best way that we can help support our community. I believe Jenna is on the line from Dubuque, from the foundation, and she may be willing to share a list of the partners who have received some of those grants so far. That way, the people who are on these lines may know of some of our nonprofit providers who have received some additional funding to support referrals potentially at this time. Jenna, are you on and available to share a little bit with people?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. So far, we've received about $500,000 in funding. To date, we did some emergency funding with the initial funder was the Dubuque County, and they wanted us to get some money in for some immediate relief. So we sent $2,500 out to the Dyersville Food Pantry and the Cascade Food Pantry. And then we're working with Resources United, setting up some other local food pantries in Farley and some of the other smaller communities. So that's the $10,000 we did there. Then for Dubuque Rescue Mission, the Dubuque Area Labor Harvest, the Boys and Girls Club, Salvation Army, Hillcrest, the Dubuque Food Pantry, Catholic Charities, Iowa Legal Aid, the Dubuque Community Y, and the VNA. We really just, the funding we sent to them was for whatever needs they immediately saw around the COVID response. And we did some funding to the ECIA for their Community Solutions in Eastern Iowa. This past week on Wednesday, so yesterday, we met with our committee for some initial funding applications and did additional funding to Catholic Charities for their direct assistance program and to St. Vincent de Paul for their voucher program. To access those grants, you can find our website, which is www.dbqfoundation.org. There's some information if you just type in COVID-19 in our search panel. It's probably the easiest way to find it. One thing I would note is right now our committee is really looking at funding the immediate relief of vulnerable populations and gaps that current state, local, federal funding isn't providing. So our committee meets twice a week. We're going to try to get those checks out as quickly as we can, but that's our current process to date.
And Jenna, we can be sure to, of course, include the link to the grant application on our minutes from today again, as well as a link to which providers have received funding, because I know that that's available as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Some of the other things I know, I believe Kelly Larson maybe and Jalen O'Connor may be on as well from the city, and there's some information we'd like to kind of share with you or gather from you. And then we'll also include the answers to these questions kind of on our webpage on the notes. but we're really interested if you have any information regarding some of these points or questions. If you could reach out to Jeff or I, that would be great, and we could handle gathering this and then providing the most accurate and up-to-date information, again, on the notes and on that. We've been communicating very closely with the city and the county, and, of course, our 211 information referral line. But we'll go through some of these real quickly, and then maybe I'll ask Kelly if you're on to provide a brief update. I know there was a city council planning session last night, too. So maybe if you could speak to a general update. And I know Mary Rose Corrigan from the Department of Public Health gave an update, too, regarding our local work around COVID-19. But one of the here's a few questions, as I mentioned, from the city. The city's group has for us. So, again, we'll post these answers later here. But one of the things is about a separate 211 multilingual line. We've heard some questions about that being set up. And I have an outreach to our 211 service to see if that is something that will be occurring soon. And if so, when? That right now our 211 information referral line, as a reminder, is a multilingual line. It's available 24/7. It's where we're referring people from the state, anybody across the state who has questions to call 211 or concerns about COVID-19, to call 211, and they can provide local resources that are available to help support people. Over the last week with 211, we had about 170 calls that have come in. Most of them are regarding to COVID-19, but what 211 operators have shared with us is that the calls are getting longer. So it may be a question about COVID-19, but that leads into additional questioning about local resources. Most prevalent, as you can imagine, are financial resources, food resources, and then questions regarding employment or unemployment. I'll continue to do some reporting out of those calls as well. But that's something you can continue to push out to people who are interested in talking or learning more about is if they have questions, 211 is our most up-to-date place to do that. There's also a free app, the 211 Iowa app, that people can download if they're able. There's also texting options during the day. Again, people can text their zip code to a number we'll include on our notes that people can get resources there. There's a question here that I would like to pose to this group. And again, I don't know if there's an answer now. If there is, great. If not, and you want to do some follow-up with us via email, that would be awesome. The question is, if there are resources in our community that can or cannot be accessed by undocumented residents. We have been kind of keeping track of additional supports and services that can be available to people who are undocumented, but are there specific resources where people can and can't access? If that's the case, we want to make sure that we're able to accommodate them differently, and we can't build a structure if we don't know if it's an issue. So if there are things related to that, it would be really helpful for you to share with us if you know of those services or have questions regarding services. I know we have, I believe we have somebody from at least Mercy, I believe, Mercy One online here today, and I posed this question, so it's in terms of a healthcare provider. One of the questions out there is what kind of reassurances, if any, can we provide to people who are concerned about the cost of seeking treatment? I know that there's been some legislation regarding the waiver of fees for co-pays and things like that for testing. And David, I don't know if you're on. I'm assuming you probably don't know the answer right off the top of your head. And I don't know if we have any other medical providers here, but I'll pause just for a second if there are any medical providers here who might have some insight about what types of assurances we can provide to the community regarding costs of seeking medical treatment. I do know Grand River Medical Group does have a telehealth option. We did post on our website. So for people who access services there, we can provide that. But anything else that people can provide, anyone from the medical community that wouldn't mind sharing a little bit? Okay, so I'm thinking crickets means no, we're not sure. But we'll figure that out, and we will be sure to get that answers, those answers kind of for you in the notes. Another question, a big question is what are some top 10 questions that nonprofits are getting to maybe create a FAQ sheet? One of the things around that is I thought we could ask our 211 information referral line staff that. But if you guys have really strong feelings about that, feel free to, again, contact Jeff and I. The same thing we thought about, centralized explanation for who's waiving fees and for shutoff and utilities and things. Again, we could probably gather that information from 211 and share that back with the community. But if there are people that you have questions about or people who are doing those waivers like that, please let us know. A big question that I really am relying on you guys to answer for me today is, because we wouldn't know this off the top of our head, but is anyone hearing concerns about people being locked out of their housing or threatened about evictions? Can people share about that if that's been a concern from any of the people that you have worked with or know of? And I'll pause a little bit for people to share if they don't mind, if that's been something that they've heard of anywhere happening. All right. Well, this is like the quietest call of so many people, but I'll just kind of keep going. Again, feel free to contact us if that is the case or you're concerned about that, because we want to make sure that we connect them with local resources immediately to help address that. Another question I've heard come across is people being concerned about using food stamps and ordering groceries online, and that it was more difficult to shop for people with food stamps. And that there's been some concern that those online orders don't have the capacity to be that particular in terms of shopping, I guess, for lack of a better word. And I know that was a question, I think, posed by Sue at one point, but Sue Whitty. But if there are other people having those types of concerns regarding people with food stamps, please let us know that. Again, that's something that we could help advocate for here locally. And again, we can't do anything for that if we're not aware. One of the other questions, there's two more here posed before I open it up to this group to talk about updates and questions. But one of the other questions here is, if people are fearful of calling 911, is there funding or other ability to have trusted intermediaries get the local information out to people? I don't know if there's particular people, Kelly, who you were interested in, like a segment or population of people. Are there people who are not interested or willing or able to call 211 to access supports there? So maybe after this last question, you can speak to any of these to give some clarification, if you don't mind. And then there was another actually, the last thing is just a website related to nonprofits specific for COVID-19. But we can look at that more and provide that information to you. So, Kelly, maybe do you mind giving a brief update, as I mentioned earlier, and then if you need to clarify about any of these questions that you have, so that if people have thoughts or concerns or questions regarding those specifics, they can let Jeff and I know, and we can kind of be the pipeline for finding the information out and then disseminating it back out through this group.
Yeah, this is Kelly. Thanks so much, Danielle, for going through those. And in the future, I don't know the best way to do this. So if it's better for me to send questions ahead and then, you know, we have a little back and forth on whether to do all these on the call, that's fine. Just let me know. These are just things that came up yesterday from our smaller group that met. A little bit of explanation on, well, first, the website is just a resource that one of our communities in the Government Alliance put together for nonprofits that has information on the various aid packages and things that are coming down from the state and federal government. And so I know that Nancy at the foundation had indicated they were going to do some work on that. So I don't want to overstep if that's already taken care of. But if a one-page sheet with some links and information would be helpful, that's something that we could work on. So we just need to know if that's needed. On the question with, I realized that I had a typo and I said 911. I meant 211. And this really relates to the question about people, you know, accessing services if they're undocumented. So one of the questions we received was, can people call 211 if they're undocumented, or are they going to get asked a series of questions? And I felt pretty confident answering that they could call 211, that wasn't going to be the barrier. If anything, it might be the next step out if people are referred to nonprofits who maybe have restrictions because the federal funding that they receive or those kinds of things prevent them from providing services without, documenting the person's social security number or asking them if they're a citizen or other things that might be in place. So that's what that question was about, and we wondered those two things. One is, if people still were distrustful of even calling 911, could we engage some intermediaries or volunteers who might make those calls for them, or fund one of our agencies, you know, to be doing that kind of intermediary work, like maybe a presentation lantern center or something. And so that was what we were getting at there. Other updates, I'm getting information every day from, you know, public health, and I'm on daily calls and also through the state and federal legislative actions. So if any of that is something that people need, just let us know what it is that's needed. And then the other piece of that is, if you have information as nonprofits or the foundation or United Way that you want to get out in Spanish or Marshallese, we're doing those translations for the city, and we could also assist with some of that. So those are just two things I wanted to add. And I don't know, Geraldine, if you have anything specific to add that I'm missing.
Hi, this is Geraldine O'Connor. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yep, we can.
Hello. Okay, just a couple things. And the conversation with our committee the other day was a concern. I think the 211 resources are fabulous, and I've looked at their links, and there's just a huge amount of information there. We just were discussing that, I think, with a lot of our vulnerable population. They're used to going to trusted places like the Multicultural Family Center or the Dream Center or New View, and, you know, often get access to information from, you know, people that they are already comfortable with and, at a place where they're comfortable. But now that most of those facilities are closed and people are working remotely, I guess we just had some concern that folks might be falling through the cracks. You know, if they're used to going to the MFC for information, the doors are closed and they're not computer savvy, how are they getting the information they need?
That's a good question, Geraldine, and we can certainly reach out, do some outreach to those specific places, some of those local places. We could also provide some signage for 211. We also, I think we have it in Spanish. I don't believe we have it in Marshallese, but we could provide signage for those places, even though they aren't open, if they're willing to hang it on their window or something like that, if people are accustomed to going there, or those downtown businesses. Well,
I think that's a good idea. And I think that whole discussion is what prompted the idea of maybe having a sheet, you know, top 10 questions or resources that could be slipped in some of the, you know, meal to go bags or something. So it's just one more place that we could be reaching people.
Oops, sorry, I forgot I was on mute. I just said so we could even get some 2-in-1 stickers and things to put on those bags if people were okay with doing that. That would be a good way to get some resources out there, too.
Oh, I think that's a great idea.
This is John from St. Mark. Can I jump in on this?
Please do.
First of all, thank you so much for thinking about that, because it is so important that, you know, those we serve do have a trust and comfort level with the agencies they're connected to. I love the idea of putting it in the food things. I also would love the idea of having it in all three languages to put signage up on our buildings. Most of our team is working remotely. Linda and I are here sporadically just when there's things we can't do from home. So I love those ideas. And we have put it on our website, and so I do think that's another option, like kind of like when you meet someone and then they introduce you to someone else, your trust for that person automatically goes up because someone you know introduced you. And so I'm sure a lot of agencies are already doing this, but we do have a resource section on our website, and 211 is on there, which hopefully gives parents some level of trust. And then I know this isn't true for every agency, but for us, we do have contact information for our families, and so we do text notifications and email and phone calls with our families, and we are continuing to direct them to 211. So that's my 2 cents. Thank you.
That's awesome, Dawn. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's a great point about being a trusted person and kind of a warm handoff to another resource kind of gives a little head nod that you support that. So thank you for sharing it that way. Is there anybody on from Iowa Workforce Development on the call today by chance? Okay, we'll do some outreach there, but we had received some questions regarding unemployment and concerns just with especially small businesses with some of the legislation passed regarding paying full wages to people who are not working because of COVID-19 for a 2-week period of time. So we can do some further investigating there. I did share on last week's minutes something we didn't talk about at CUMIN right after the call, but was some advocacy efforts that United Way as a whole was doing at the federal level and also at the local level to support specific legislation. So I did include that last week on the notes. I'll continue to share some updates as things happen legislatively as it relates to human service providers, but also if I can get more information regarding unemployment, because I certainly know that that's a question I think many of us have out there. Let me open it up, I guess, and I know this may be a little bit difficult, but are there things, I guess, I want to hear from you guys, what are current needs? We talked about needs last week. We talked about food being a concern, and I know that there are many places. We have some even links on our site about kind of some coordinated efforts for people getting food access or increased food access for meals. We've had some great partnerships where a couple of organizations are really working together collaboratively in a new way to deliver meals, for example, or to make sure staffing needs are being met. I really appreciate and respect those organizations who are open to that and those organizations who are willing to kind of serve the community in that capacity. I think that's an exciting thing that has come from this kind of really scary just a scary time, I guess, for many of us. But are there other needs that you guys have that we have not talked about recently that we want to hear those? I mentioned in the notes last week, again, right after the call we had, United Way received a $10,000 grant from Alliant Energy and we intend to use that to purchase supplies to disseminate through our nonprofit support. So kind of in conjunction with perhaps childcare or food sites, some of those specific needs we need to know what people need so that we can hopefully buy them in bulk, and that should save you potentially the opportunities from spending your own dollars on it. But we don't know specifics. I think we talked sometimes a little bit about paper products and diapers and things like that. But what are some of the needs that you guys are seeing now that we haven't talked about yet? Do you mind sharing, and maybe just say who you are and who you're with and throw it out there? And I know Jess is typing away frantically on her computer too, but I'll just open it up to people to share a little bit about updated needs.
Hello, this is Amy Schauer. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Amy. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, okay, so you guys briefly touched on this, but I just want to make sure that we get a clear indication of where it's going. The legal resources was a concern that we had at Stonehill. I don't know if our HR person is on. She was maybe going to call in, but we were wondering about the Community Foundation had said on the initial call, and then Kelly with the city kind of briefly addressed it too. But what would be best for nonprofits who are trying to figure out those resources that are coming from the government, the different things that are going to be available? You know, a lot of this, we're still figuring out what those needs for our employees are going to be. But, you know, Nancy had said, don't hire your own attorney, don't do your own legal consulting, that they could be a resource for that. So what's the best way to get that information, or who should we contact?
I think that's great info, Amy, or great question. I know we talked about that with advocacy as far as legislation, and as well as with, you know, to your point, legal questions and things. If you have specific questions, if you want to shoot them my way, Amy, I can make sure that we get the answers or the support that you need, and then we can share it globally with the group, as long as it's not a real specific need. That way the resources are available and there for people. And I think that's one of the things that Kelly mentioned in that website, too. For nonprofits, there are some resources and links there that help regarding staff and paid leave, I think, and time off. So maybe those will be resources that help.
Okay. All right. So send specific questions to you, and then we'll watch for that. The links that you're referring to, are they on your website?
Yes, they are. We'll have them on our minutes, but then the broader links we have on the main page of that COVID-19 disaster page. And those broad things that we have on there, we have some general ones about, like, from the CDC and the Iowa Department of Public Health. We're still making sure people look there for valid information that's accurate to share with their consumers and to share with the community, because I know that there are a lot of miscommunications out there, too. So we want to make sure people are accessing the true resources.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for a great question.
This is Dawn at St. Mark, and if I could just piggyback off of that, and Amy, correct me if I'm wrong, but this was one of the notes that I had written down as well, is it's almost like all of us as nonprofits are looking ourselves for our own 211, not, and I mean that like just as an example, not really to set something up, but that there are so many resources to navigate while also keeping our operations going and, you know, doing all the things that all of us are doing, including you guys. And so just is there a way, or maybe it already exists and I just haven't found it yet, through this collaboration with United Way and Community Foundation to have, I know there was some talk earlier about a one-pager, and I think maybe that was for families in the community, but for United Way or for nonprofits to just navigate these waters of, what is out there? What do we qualify for? What are the eligibility requirements? And just having a central location to keep all of it straight. We're all getting inundated with emails every day of how things can help us, but trying to, like I said, just navigate all those different resources and what are ones we should really be spending our time and energy on would be super helpful.
That's great. I think that's what Kelly was actually talking about when she talked about a one-pager. It was specific to nonprofit support. So I think we're doing a lot, and you guys are all doing a lot to help support community members, but this is more nonprofit support. And what we could also do is not only share that on our website, share those information for our website, but push it out through our Facebook or actually social media. That way, if there are things that are updated, we could, if people want to, I don't know, look there for that too. I didn't want to forget people by emailing people. So we've kind of been using that hub to make sure people can get the information when they need to and when they're able to. But we can look at that. I think that would be a benefit for all the nonprofits, and I can work with Kelly on that and with Nancy too.
Thank you.
What are other questions or needs people have, even if it's supplies?
This is Dawn again from St. Mark. I have two different questions. One is there – I'm going to keep this one in my head for now. I'll figure out how to ask it. On the supplies front, where we're really trying to be a player right now is on the part of our mission that's related to social-emotional. And so is that a type of – We put together some kits for our families to be able to get from our little free library. We've been very mindful of the people who are putting together are wearing gloves. Everything's put in plastic bags. You know, we're being mindful of not taking any chances of transmitting the disease on surfaces. Are those the type of supplies that could be requested funding for?
I think those are great things that we certainly could look at to help support, especially because we do have a large dollar amount that we can spend for local support. So if you know of places or specific things, let us know that, where you typically go. I know some of the things we've looked at are, like I said, paper products and diapers and things like that. I know there's a whole discussion around the N95 masks and availability of those, as well as latex surgical gloves for specific needs. But we felt if we could get some things in bulk, it would save each of the providers the time and energy and cost of finding, purchasing, and having it delivered. So if you have specifics on that, John, please have someone send them our way. That would be great.
Awesome. My other question was just around, are we finding that the resources such as food, homemade masks, things like that, that they're being utilized and resources are being directed in a way that is effective and efficient?
Sorry, I think that's a great, great question. I know there are many local people who are making masks. I have, and I don't know, again, if Mercy Wong's on right now, I'm not aware if they can use those masks within that medical facility. But I know that they're being made, so I'm just trying to figure that out, too. If that were the case, you could push out. Oh, yeah.
This is Kelly. I did hear yesterday that the Iowa Department of Public Health is working to put together some guidance on homemade masks so that a decision can be made which ones could be used in, say, a healthcare facility versus things that people might just want to have, you know, for their own uses. So as soon as I see that, I'll send that.
Great. Thank you. This is Amy from Stonehill. I can just weigh in a little bit on what we're doing at our facility, if that's helpful. Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Amy. Go ahead.
Okay. So just to let you know, so we were...
ones that you can insert a filter, just the basic cloth masks. Currently, IDPH and CDC aren't saying that those are an effective preventive method. The way that we're using them is for staff to wear so that they're not spreading droplets if they would happen to sneeze or cough, but they're not effective in helping the person that's wearing it. The virus can get through those without a filter. So the biggest need for medical facilities is still for medical masks, and especially the N95 masks, the respirator masks. Those are in short supply, and a lot of us who need to order them are waiting on them. So they're coming. We've put in orders, but that's the greatest need right now. So if anyone has medical masks or has a way to get those, especially the N95, donating those is a greater need right now than the cloth mask.
Other questions or updated resources that people want to share? I'm going to give Jess's email address as well as mine and cell phones too, while people think of kind of last minute questions before we kind of end the call. But and then we'll continue to have this next Thursday at 9 if that's helpful to people. We'd be happy to do that for as long as people need, and then we can provide updated listing again about new grants, new opportunities that have been made available. But my email address is my first name dot last name, which is Daniellee.Peterson, Peterson, at dbqunitedway.org. And Jess's is jessica.bliley, which is Jessica.Bliley at dbqunitedway.org, and please let me know if I spelled your name wrong, Jess. But those are our email addresses, and we'd be happy to share our cell phone numbers too if it's easier to have a call. Just an email, we can share ourselves. Other questions or things that we haven't talked about that you guys would like information on before we end today's call?
Hey, Danielle, this
Hi,
is Heather.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Kat.
Danielle, can you hear me?
I think we got a couple. Was that somebody from HACAP on? Is that what I heard?
Yeah. Hi, Danielle. This is Heather Harney from HACAP. And as you had mentioned, you know, issues with evictions. And I just want to, and I know it's not going to be an issue right now because of the moratorium, but I do, you know, want to have a bug in people's ears that May or June is going to be a significant issue. It's going to be a lot of pressure on the homeless systems and pressures on agencies to provide rental assistance or homeless prevention services. So I think that is something that's going to be coming up in May and June that we need to probably be thinking about a few months down the road.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's kind of like squeezing the toothpaste down the line a little bit, but you're right. Thanks for bringing that part up, too, for people. I know we have some short-term concerns, immediate concerns, but there's also some that are a little bit further down, and that's definitely a concern there, as well as I think some concerns regarding unemployment and just general income. So, thank you. And I think somebody else
and
was asking a question, too.
Hi, this is Abby Degenhart with Dubuque County Early Childhood.
Abby, thanks for getting on today.
Yes, I just wanted just to touch base in regards to child care resource and referral. Tara wasn't able to join the call this morning. Our goal is to keep the centers and providers that we have open because it's really important for our essential workers. But some of the needs right now that they are seeing is that we really are looking for no-touch thermometers. It's really important that we're screening all of the children and staff prior to them entering any building. They're really hard to find online, but that is definitely a need right now with child care centers, along with alcohol wipes and hand sanitizers. So if anybody on this call has any recommendations or resources to get some of those things, please let me know.
Okay. Okay, that's awesome, Abby, that we'll take that to our list, too, as we're looking at making those purchases here in the next few days.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'll let you know directly if we find a supplier who has access, so you can at least
perfect
relax a bit about that part.
Camille?
Any other questions, needs, or updates? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
This is Kelly. I have, I was just going to say that if people want some of the signage, the 211 signage or stickers distributed, I think I have some people that could work on that. I would just need to know who wants them and where we can pick them up.
Okay, that would be great. People want to let us know that. That would be awesome. We could also actually just make a list of our current people that we work with too, and do like a road trip to share them with people. But that's great if you have people who might be able to help with that. That would be great, Kelly. Thank you. Anything else? Well, I know I started last week's call just thanking each and every one of you for the work that you're doing and encouraging you to take care of yourselves and take care of your families, as well as I know you're doing so much for the community and for your staff. And I guess today I'll end the call with that. I know sometimes it can be a really lonely place being a nonprofit leader. And I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you for coming together, for offering the support. And Dawn, I always think of your kiddos when you talk about social emotional learning. Some of my best lessons that I've heard from people about when you get anxious or nervous or feeling fearful about something is just to really take care of yourself, surround yourself with good people, and just take time to take care of yourself too. So I want to thank you guys again for all the work that you're doing. I'm encouraging you to support one another and to take care of yourselves and stay healthy. And we'll plan on having this call again next Thursday at 9 a.m. We'll post some information for you all on our website and, again, share on our social media channels too. But let us know anytime throughout the week if you have updated programs, updated needs, and we'll try to pull together to help one another through this. Thank you guys very, very much for everything.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Danielle.
Take care.